So here we are one more time. This we believe, the Apostles' Creed series. Yes, Cherie left me in the middle. But not only did she leave me in the middle today, she left me in one of the most controversial parts of the creed. How thoughtful of her. So we've talked about a belief in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And now today, he descended to the dead. And the third day, he rose again. See, I told you she left me with the good part. So, could you stand with me as we recite the creed together one more time? It is in your hymnal in the back on page number 882. Or if you've gotten it memorized, like I do, then feel free. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Virgin, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third and to dead. On the third day he rose from him. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So you've noticed as you look at that page, there are two listed. One is traditional version, and I can hear that some of us have that memorized really well. It's hard to make the transition from that to the ecumenical version, which is number 882. Now, why do you think there are more than one version of the same creed? Just to confuse us. I think that's a great thing, right? It isn't really to confuse us, but what happens is over time, people think differently. Do you think that's true? Yeah. So, as we attend this text today, we're going to attend it remembering that we didn't all grow up at the same time, in the same place, with the same thoughts and the same ideas. Is that a good deal? Okay. So now I'm going to ask you if you would please close your eyes. Sit in your chair. And as I read these words, find yourself in a different place and time. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, He said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, It is finished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a great day of solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. These things occurred that the scriptures might be fulfilled. None of his bones shall be broken. And another passage of scripture says, They will look on the one whom they have pierced. And now you can open your eyes. Is this an image that we like to remember? Not really, because it's rather horrific, right? Any of us who saw that movie, The Passion of Christ, saw what happened to this man. But the part about this particular passage that's so important, and the reason we have so many creeds, is all about the argument of whether Jesus was truly human or truly divine. Now, I could take a poll. How many of you believe that Jesus was truly human? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you believe that Jesus was truly divine? Good job. But see, in that time frame, there were two different thoughts. And the whole understanding of the humanity of Christ is huge. Which is why I read those passages to you. Because Jesus was a good Jewish boy. He took care of his mother. It was his job as a Jewish son to see that his mother was cared for. So even in the midst of the suffering that we know he did, he was a good son. He was truly human. Now, here's where we get into the tricky part. He chose his moment to die. Do you all agree? He chose his moment to die. He was thirsty. He had already said to his companions, On this day you will go with me where? To to paradise. Did he say anything about going to hell? No. Hence the controversy. So why in the creed do we say that he descended into Hades, hell, Sheol? Why do we say it? Do you have any idea? Anybody? All right.
To visit those people that have lived in the past who have not had the opportunity to know Jesus, for them to choose to believe.
Because they believed strongly in his humanity. And the idea is this. The translations of our Bibles are many, as you well know. We could all choose one translation or another to read from, and they all sound different. Because they all have a little bit of difference, because the people who have translated them have different theologies. In the Hebrew scripture, the actual word for the realm of the dead is Sheol. And it truly means the place of the dead, or the place of departed spirits. In Greek, the word for Sheol is Hades. It also refers to the place of the dead. In either of those two words, do we ever hear the word hell? No. They have nothing to do with hell. Sheol, the place of the dead, Hades, is a waiting place. Now, if you have a Catholic background, you would have already been taught that there are levels of death, and that there's a level in the middle where you wait. And that comes from the early church thinking. It comes from the fact that we are purely human beings that are seeking to find a different path. And there was a place for us to go. This place, Sheol, the place of the dead, had two parts. One side was frequently referred to as Abraham's side, or Abraham's bosom, or paradise. The unsaved side was not called that. So you had these two sides, and these are thinkings of people who lived a long time before we did. They didn't have all the science and all the ways that we could hold off death. But they needed to understand that somehow or other their loved ones weren't going to be in an awful place. They struggled to figure that out. Now let's hear these words. There was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan in action. Next slide. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. So then they went and returned to prepare spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. It's an ugly place, isn't it? How many of you have ever been to Jerusalem and been to the garden? It's an ugly place. It's cold. It's dark. And when the rock is rolled away and you look in, it's literally a hole in the middle of a rock. Cold and damp. Not really a very friendly looking place. Though some would say, now, if they believe that the garden is where the garden they say it is, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Jesus never went to hell. So whenever you see that statement, he descended to hell, you have to change the words. Jesus, in the early church thinking, went to Sheol, the place of the dead. He was truly human. He did what every other human being did. This creed that we use, not only is it a statement of belief, but it's a real chronology of the history of the church. It makes very logical sense. It goes from Genesis, God the Creator. It goes to the Son, because God becomes incarnate. Hence the reason for the use of the second hymn. A word of God incarnate. Human in our lives to teach us how to live our lives. If Jesus hadn't been truly human, do you think we would have remembered the parables and the stories of how we are to live our lives? Probably not. But what made that possible was the next step. Jesus made very specific choices. He chose what parable to tell the disciples at what time. He never held the truth from them. He told them all along the journey he was going to die. How many of you have ever said, I am living and dying every day of my life? Because the truth is, we are. We don't like to talk about it, though, do we? Jesus talked about it. In an effort to help them understand that he wasn't even going to be as old as some of them would be. He wouldn't be able to carry the stories, but they would. We can. Jesus was human. He did ask God to let the cup pass him by. We heard it. It's in the history. And as we say this creed together, our memories are forced to picture those images over and over again. There is no leaving out death. We can't make it any easier. And all of us have experienced it. I find it kind of amazing. We have a 17-year-old smooth collie. We have been babying him along. He's dying. Yesterday, he couldn't move his back end. What am I supposed to speak to you about today? Do I want to face that? Not really. But Jesus did, with his eyes wide open. He walked that cross. He took his last breath. What does it mean for us? Did he have to die? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Did Jesus have to die? Do you think we would have believed like we did if we hadn't seen or understood all of this? One of the great people that I hold dear is John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. His statement was, "Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Think those words might not have been from Jesus, too? Wasn't that what he taught us to do? Next slide. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. having seen the crucifixion, next slide, do you think they were expecting this? It didn't matter that Jesus had told them it was going to happen, did it? Because what do we get stuck on? We didn't want him to die. Right? That's where we get stuck, and we get stuck there. Or we completely skip it and go to the resurrection without understanding that there's a whole big process in the middle. Rising. Jesus created a new creation. One of my favorite crosses, and I have a huge number of crosses, is this one. It's from El Salvador, one of the places that I have traveled to. And it says, La Nueva Creación. And when you look at it, the first thing that probably grabs you is this white Christ, right? Because it's kind of big and there, and you're not used to seeing a crucifixion that looks like this. It's because the white Christ is the risen Christ. And what you see around this Christ is the creation that he made possible, new. You see on this people, you see the animals, you see growth, you see villages. It's a new way to see the cross with Christ. Because that's where we're called to be. Not to forget that he was on that cross. But remember that it was his very humanity that put him there. And that it is our humanity that makes resurrection possible. We do what we are called to do. All the good we can do, all the time, all the while, in every way, for everyone. Because Jesus taught us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. The Apostles' Creed. These are Cherie's four words. And I admit, I've had to struggle a bit with her thoughts on symmetry and clarity and community and counsel. So I'm going to take a stab at it. Let's see what you think. The Holy Spirit invites us into the freedom that is reserved for the children of God. God is present in the beginning of the story, in the middle of the story, in the end of the story, and in the ongoing story. Does that work for symmetry for you? How about clarity? Christ chose to go to the cross. He went freely. He knew what he was doing. We too have choices to make. How will we make those choices? Do any of us have a Jiminy Cricket to chirp in our ears and say, "Woo, wait"? And now, how about community? Jesus continues in that resurrection moment to extend the invitation to us to live powerfully in our present and into the future, to create the new creation, to be co-creating with Him, to give rise to a new possibility, not divisions or dissent, but compassion and love. And counsel? Let's not fear our confession, repentance, honesty, and living in the truth. Let's live together in the promise of new life that we experience every time we say this creed. Calling the crowd with his disciples, Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father with the holy angels."